This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:47 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Chuang and Xiao Ning. 1MDB is back in international headlines.
Did it ever go away, Shaz? Seriously?
I hung around like a bad smell.
We were, you know...
It's the gift that keeps on giving. Revelations every other day.
We were distracted by the pandemic, for example. But in any case, it's back in international headlines as the trial of Goldman Sachs executive Roger Ng kicked off in New York last week. Now, Roger Ng is the only Goldman banker to be tried for this multi-billion dollar bribery scheme.
So his boss, Goldman's former Southeast Asia chairman, Tim Leisner, took the stand as the prosecution's star witness, dropping several bombshells in his testimony. Among them is a revelation that he used $10 million gained from the 1MDB affair to buy a house in London for a former romantic partner. He also implicated Dato' Taufik Ahmad, who is the husband of former Bank Negara Governor Tan Sri Zetty, in receiving bribes to facilitate the 1MDB fund transfer.
Okay, however, the trial has had a procedural stumbling block because it was revealed that the government did not disclose documentary evidence to the defense team. The judge has said that she would give the defense all the time they need to study the documents, and it's not surprising that the saga of 1MDB, with all its twists and turns, is resulting in a trial with similar curveballs.
So joining us on the line now for some reactions to the trial is Tom Wright, former Wall Street Journal journalist and also author of The Billion Dollar Whale. Tom, good morning. Always good to have you. Thanks for joining us. So what were your reactions to Tim Leisner's testimony? Was there anything surprising that came out of it? Or for you, was this simply a validation of your investigation into the 1MDB dealings all this while?
Well, I've got to say, everyone's talking about all the relationships that he said he had with, you know, Rohana and others, the former Astro CEO. I mean, we knew about all of that. And if you read Billion Dollar Whale, it's in there. That's not new stuff. But to me, I'd like to focus on what I think is the most interesting thing. It may not be the most salacious thing, but he said a few days ago, last week, in his testimony, that Goldman Sachs senior executives had known that Joe Lo was running the 1MDB fund. That's crucial. Goldman, since the beginning of all of this, has said that Leisner and Roger Ng were rogue operators, that they knew Joe Lo was running the 1MDB fund. Don't forget, Joe Lo was only 29, 30 years old when he was running this fund, and that Goldman had turned down Joe Lo for a private bank account, and only Roger Ng and Leisner knew the real role of Joe Lo. But Leisner, when he took the stand in New York, told the jurors that that's not true, that actually some very senior people at Goldman knew that Joe Lo was involved in the fund, including this guy called Michael Evans, who is now president of Alibaba. So that to me is fascinating because it shows that Goldman sort of knew about this strange thing with Joe Lo, but obviously they were making a ton of money from their business with 1MDB and they let it slide.
Well, Tom, it's quite clear that, Roger Ng's, you know, the only scapegoat in this entire saga, and he's being thrown under the bus. How does the law fall on this issue that he just discussed, where Goldman's actually knew about it and might have even been accused of being complicit in this issue?
Well, you know, the U.S. Legal system has already, gone through what Goldman has already been fined, you know, tons of billions of dollars in this case. But it was only the Malaysian unit of Goldman that pleaded guilty in the U.S. legal system. The parent company had what was called a deferred prosecution agreement. So I think that's as far as it goes in terms of how far Goldman will be prosecuted. I don't think we're going to see any prosecutions any higher than this. Whether or not Roger Ng's a scapegoat, however, I don't know if that's true. I mean, he's alleged to have taken $35 million. His defense is that was a business deal involving his wife and Leisner's wife, nothing to do with 1MDB. Leisner has pleaded guilty, but I don't think it's going to go any higher than Tim Leisner and Roger Ng. Now, of course, you referred in the beginning of this segment to these 15,000 emails of Leisner's that the prosecution, that the government have failed to turn over to Roger Ng's defense team. And that's crucial because this could end up, I think the lawyer for Roger Ng yesterday was saying he may go for a mistrial. So this whole trial could potentially collapse over this. I don't know if it will, but there's obviously that the judge has suspended the trial now and going to give Roger Ng's team some days to go through these 15,000 emails that they didn't get hold of and they should have gotten hold of before this all began.
Meanwhile, there were some revelations with regards to Dato' Taufik Aiman, who is the husband of the former Bank Negara governor. Do you think that there are then new threats to this case that should be investigated further here in Malaysia?
It sounds like it. I think this might refer to something called had a complicated name, something like the Malaysia Abu Dhabi Investment Corporation, which was something that that Jolo set up before 1MDB. That I think he gave shares to a bunch of people, including like Otaiba, who was the United Arab Emirates ambassador to, still is the United Arab Emirates ambassador to the US, to Ayman, who was the former central bank governor Zeti's husband. And so these guys all had shares in this company. And I think that's come out also in Malaysia. And I don't know. So I think what Leissner was saying is somehow that relates to the bank, the Central Bank of Malaysia's decision to allow through the initial $1 billion that went out of Malaysia and ended up in a company controlled by Jolo in the Seychelles. We didn't come across that in our reporting, anything about that in our reporting for the billion-dollar whale, but that's what Leissner seems to be saying.
So, Tom, I'm assuming you're following this quite closely. What are the permutations now in terms of the next steps?
Well, as I said, in terms of Goldman, I think all that has to happen now is Roger Ng's trial has to complete. He'll be found either guilty or not guilty. And then after that, Leissner will be sentenced. Of course, Leissner has pleaded guilty to, you know, moving $200 million through his own accounts that he controlled and other people controlled close to him. And then he'll be sentenced. I doubt very much Leissner will get off with some sort of plea deal. And I'm sure he's going to have to do jail time given what he's pleaded guilty to. And that'll create a new round of headlines because that's going to be like a Goldman partner, first Goldman partner to go to jail, I think, in the bank's history. And so, you know, and then after that, I think for Goldman, we'll see a closure to this because, as I said, they've already been fined, you know, $5 billion, the largest ever under the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. Malaysian unit of Goldman's already pleaded guilty. So I can't see it going any further than that. I don't think anything Leissner's saying here on the stand is going to lead to the US government opening up new criminal indictments. Because don't forget, Leissner pleaded guilty 3 years ago now, right? 2018. And so they've had a lot of time to talk to him and get all his information. None of this is going to be new to them.
But how do the revelations from this trial impact international perceptions towards former Prime Minister Dato' Sri Najib Razak and the Malaysian government overall, I suppose?
I don't think these trials have anything to do with that. Najib Razak has been found guilty in a Malaysian court. He's been sentenced to 12 years in jail. He's appealed it and he lost that appeal. Najib is a convicted criminal for what he did. He has, I believe, one more appeal, I think. I think it's one more appeal at the Supreme Court in Malaysia. But, you know, he's a convicted felon. And I don't understand why he's allowed to continue to walk around Malaysia and talk and even go on hustings and all this kind of do electoral stuff. I find that absolutely shocking.
You know, by the end of the day, right, the person that really did the crime remains out there. Do you think Jolo will ever get caught?
I very much doubt it. I mean, the problem with Jolo is he knows all kinds of things about how the Chinese Belt and Road infrastructure deals work. Very complicated story. But after he left Malaysia in 2018, when Najib was still prime minister, 2016, when Najib was still prime minister and he sort of told him to get out of Malaysia and he went to China. And then he was involved in all these dodgy infrastructure deals in Malaysia involving the East Coast Rail and all of these things that were going to be padded to steal even more money to fill the holes that had been made from 1MDB. You know, he knows all about the corruption that goes on in the Chinese Communist Party. And so I don't think there's any likelihood we're going to sort of see and hear from him because he would sort of start talking about all of that stuff if he were to appear in public. So he's obviously facing indictments in Malaysia, in Singapore, and also in the US. But I very much doubt we're going to see him come and face justice in any of those places.
Tom, thank you as always for speaking to us. That was Tom Wright, author of The Billion Dollar Whale, chronicling his longtime investigation into Jolo and the 1MDB saga, talking to us about the revelations from Roger Ng's trial in New York that has been put on hold for the time being over procedural issues.
Yeah, that's the part I don't really understand because we've kind of established that if the trial goes on as expected, then the sentencing is quite clear-cut and it's just the extent of the sentencing. You know, Tim Leissner is not going to get away with a slap on the wrist. But what if there's a mistrial? What if there's a miscarriage of justice having been deemed on a procedural front? Then what happens next? You know, that's the part I don't understand.
I think nobody has the answer for that yet, right?
Because yeah, 15,000 emails is a lot.
Yeah, it has to go through the process at court, right? And you know, actually, the wheels of justice don't move very, very fast. It took 2 years, I think, for Roger Ng to get the trial, not helped by the fact that COVID-19 and there were all these SOPs. But I'm just curious, okay, now we know that the Goldman bosses, according to Tim Leissner, knew about it. But it seems like, oh, that case is still shut. It's not going to be reopened at all. So it's like as if the big bosses get away, Joe Lo is still missing in action. Who is the ultimate criminal here we're talking about,
well,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Roger Ng's the guy stuck under the bus and Tim Weisner's right behind him.
Exactly.
And that's it. I mean, that's the extent of the culpability, which beggars belief, because this is something which went right to the top of the food chain. And Goldman had a record bumper year that year because they made so much money from the bond deals. You know, so it seems incredible, but this is in real life. And the real movie should be made about Goldman's and, you know, the whole tentacles of squidness and, you know, the Greg Smith book and how they are sucking the lifeblood from the world. I mean, this is just the stuff of fiction.
So you have Goldman Sachs on one hand seemingly going off unscathed after managing to close this chapter. And
I mean,
Malaysia,
they paid the $5 billion fine, but I mean, if the bosses knew about it, it shouldn't be just a fine, right? Maybe it should involve some sort of jail time as well.
And then over on this side, we have the person who has been convicted of these dealings, former Prime Minister Najib Razak. He is also going about, as Tom Wright pointed out, he's taking part in campaigning. He's still very vocal. The public and the media, we're still paying attention to him.
Although he has one more appeal to go.
He has one more appeal for one of his court cases.
Yes.
He has several court cases related to the 1MDB saga. There are a lot of threads to this. And in a way, it does seem quite weird that he's still able to go on life as normal. Traveling to Singapore, visiting relatives.
With special permission from the court, albeit.
There we go.
There's two laws, one for us and another for thee. Them.
Well, let's hope not. Let's hope that justice will prevail. 7:58 in the morning. We are heading into the 8 a.m. news bulletin. And then after that, on the breakfast grill, me and Wong Xiaoning will be speaking to His Excellency Alexander Nektalo, Ambassador of Ukraine to Malaysia. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.